You may have noticed the pink vestments and hangings in church this morning. And if you're like my oldest daughter, she has been waiting for this day to come when she can light that pink candle on our Advent wreath. And if I'm being honest, I'm excited too. It's one of my favorite days of the year. I've heard some of you conjecture, what is this pink candle all about? Well, I remember hearing as a kid that the pink symbolized the rose, the Virgin Mary. I guess your former rector, Jason Leo, perpetuated a myth that the pink candle was the hope that Jesus perhaps might be a girl. In some churches where Advent is seen as a penitential season, not unlike Lent, I've heard this Sunday colloquially called Lighten Up Sunday. No matter what you've heard, a traditional name for this day is Gaudete Sunday. The tradition is rooted in the epistle that we heard this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Gaudete is the word for rejoice. So today is about encountering joy. So what is the deal with the gospel lesson today? And how is this gospel about joy? How do we get from John's admonishment, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come, to joy? Paul's letter to the Philippians is perhaps a good place for us to start our exploration. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. The letter to the Philippians is addressed to a church, a group of people whom the Apostle Paul deeply loves. And in this piece of the letter, if you read the verses leading up to it, you find that Paul is addressing two women in the community, Euodia and Syntyche. I wonder if they took that out of the lectionary just because it's hard to pronounce. Euodia and Syntyche. And these two women are not getting along, and Paul is showing them and us how to live more fully in Jesus Christ. Paul says, Euodia, Syntyche, even in your disagreements, rejoice. There's so much to be thankful for. It's like those two family members who always get into it at your Christmas table. They fuss and they disagree because one watches MSNBC and the other watches Fox News. And Paul still says, yet, even unto them, rejoice. Paul actually encouraged the warring women and encourages us to do three things, even in the midst of our disagreements. Rejoice, give thanks, and don't worry. And then God will bless you with a peace you and no one can fully understand. Paul is encouraging us to practice joy. Several years ago, I personally hit a spot where it was very challenging to practice joy. Some of you know that feeling, whether you've struggled with depression, or at times you just get in a funk and you can't quite get out of it. I spent months in this place. And each month I still saw my spiritual director. And one day that spiritual director said something that helped me eventually to find greater joy. He said very simply, "How have you been giving thanks lately to God?" And I realized that I hadn't been. I'd been praying a lot. It's just that I hadn't been saying any prayers of thanksgiving. I hadn't been praying with a thankful heart. It was a slow turnaround, but when I started giving thanks, joy started to creep back into my heart. Rejoice. Give thanks. Don't worry. And then God will bless you with a peace no one can fully understand. So back to John. These crowds have come to the desert. They're in a dark place. They're lamenting the state of their collective lives. They're looking for something better, but they're fretting about their futures. And they've heard that this John the Baptist might be offering something different. And that's when John says, "You bunch of snakes! Who warned you to run from the place where you came from? Do something to show you've given up, the ways you've turned from God." How have you and I been responding in the midst of our challenges? Rejoice. Give thanks. Don't worry. This is what John is urging these people out in the desert to do. It's what we're being called by John to do this morning. But people ask, well, how do we do it? And John replies with a quite simple answer. He says to the people, whether they're rich or they're poor, he says, if you have anything extra, give it away. Give some of it away. And then he speaks directly to two professions, two people who have professions that exploit people. First, to the tax collector. He says to the tax collector, be fair to people and don't take more than people owe. And to the soldier who wants to know, well, what do I do? John says, it's simple, don't be a bully. John says all of this to prepare our hearts for Jesus, whose very presence is that of love and joy. And that pure love and joy have the power to purify the world, but it happens when injustice is burnt away, exploitation, inequality, hoarding resources, and abuse flee from our midst. And John seems to be saying it starts with us. Just think of some place this week where you have witnessed or experienced injustice, exploitation, inequality, hoarding of resources, or abuse. It doesn't take too long to find it. How might you still yet give thanks in the face of these things? Have the fortitude not to worry, to still rejoice. Now, when I talk about rejoicing, I'm not talking about turning a blind eye. I'm talking about bringing hope and joy and peace in the face of these things that are not right, that are not of God. A little over a week ago, a group of people from Calvary, who are some of our regular volunteers with Interfaith Hospitality Network, gathered for breakfast to hear Jim Wallace, the editor of Sojourners Magazine, speak. He talked in the midst of his presentation about knowing Desmond Tutu, being this young man, Desmond Tutu, a younger man, and they were in South Africa during apartheid. And he found himself as this young Christian leader in this room with Tutu. It was during the deepest, darkest days of apartheid, when the government was trying to shut down opposition by canceling a political rally, and Archbishop Tutu said, "We're going to hold a church service instead." St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, South Africa, was filled with worshipers. Outside the cathedral, hundreds of police gathered. A show of force intended to intimidate. As Tutu was preaching, the police entered the cathedral armed and lined the walls, and they started to bring out notebooks and were recording Tutu's words. But Tutu would not be intimidated. He preached against the evils of apartheid, declaring it could not endure. At one extraordinary point, he addressed the police directly. Wallace recounts him saying, "You are powerful. You are very powerful. But you are not gods. And I serve a God who cannot be mocked. So since you've already lost, I invite you to come today and join the winning side." And little Archbishop Tutu started to sway, and some started to sway with him. And a slow melody began to swell. And the congregation started to all sing together. And everyone in the room began to move their bodies, rocking in rhythm with each other. And in the midst of darkness all around, this room could not contain their joy. The police didn't know what to do. Their attempts at intimidation had failed. Overcome by the archbishop's confidence that God and goodness would triumph over evil. Rejoice. Give thanks. Do not worry. When we have the courage to begin to practice even one of these things in our lives, our hearts, our minds, our lives change. And we have the strength to face the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. We fill spaces with life and grace and love and joy. This is the good news. This is how we, in big and small ways, prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.